It was a joy to be with you all for these few days, and thanks for all your love prayers and love gifts. You never sent me empty away, and you do much more than I could expect. And may Jehovah Jireh, from his never-failing treasury, repay you more than I can ask or think of him, knowing that we can never outgive God, and our Lord is a bountiful giver. And the Bible says, if we sow bountifully, we shall reap bountifully. And I know you have, and we love and appreciate you, and Brother Lester, and all from near and far, our brother all the way from Ocala and his family. And I applaud him for making this journey. And here we have folks in driving distance, and they don't value the opportunity. How sad, but that's the way it is. Nevertheless, God bless you and all the hungry hearts here, and encourage us for these perilous times. I just want to point out a few scriptures that you can meditate upon. I will not try to explain, but give you the Word of God to sustain you in these days, and our faith will be strengthened. Never mind if the gas goes up a dollar more. It's already $4, right? Yeah. And they were hoping to reach that, and they may try to climb another dollar, because there is no end to the greed in man's heart. But let's know there is no inflation in God's kingdom. God is mindful of us. And I will ask you, before we go into the message, to open your Bibles to Pharaoh's dream, how it has a meaning for us today. You say that was a long time ago. Yes, indeed. But God's Word has patterns, and there are truths that applied then that still have meaning today. You have heard the statement, history repeats itself. Well, God repeats, and he puts patterns in his words to speak to us. And it's the book of Genesis and the 41st chapter. You can get your Bibles open there. And we'll read some verses from that chapter that I'm sure all of you who love the Lord and his word have read already. And while you're doing so, Sister Gabriel will help me with a song about the cross. I traveled down a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. And I cried out to the Lord, and he came and rescued me.
I traveled down a lonely and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say, so tenderly, my feet were all so weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath that, Lord. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. But if by death to living they can thy glory see, Lord, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee.
Thank you. Genesis 41 is a chapter pertaining to Pharaoh's dream and the famine that would engulf Egypt. I will not take the time to read the entire chapter, but it's interesting. There was only one man in Egypt who had the understanding of that prophetic dream. And he was falsely accused and put in prison. And the man to whom he showed kindness, he had interpreted this man's dream. The butler, this man forgot Joseph. And the last words of Joseph to him were, "Remember me," to Pharaoh. And as our sister was saying earlier, sometimes people forget us. But I'm glad we have a God who does not forget us. God always remembers. He never suffers from Alzheimer's disease. Is that right or not? Maybe we forget. And the older we get, the more forgetful we become. But the Holy Spirit comes to bring all things to our remembrance. And we're thankful. Here this man could have said a word for Joseph. But he did not, until God sovereignly intervened and gave the ruler of Egypt a dream, and none of his wise men could interpret the dream. And finally, this man, the butler, says to Pharaoh, "I now remember my fault this day." God has a way to help us to remember. And he said, "Sir, there was a man from Canaan, but he is a prisoner in Egypt, and this is the man I believe can help you." And Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and you know the story, how Joseph changed his prison garments and appeared before Pharaoh, having taken a shave and looking neat and clean. And he listened to the dream of Pharaoh. And God gave him the interpretation. We will read that in a little while. But I want to lay a background to what I'm going to say, and that is, see if I can get you to assist me to some degree. How many of you have made a list in your Bible studies of the 12 sons of Jacob? Let me see you raise your hands. I want to suggest to the young people, you should know the names of the 12 sons of Jacob. You say, what prophet is that? A lot. Because God hides truth in names. One of the great truths of the Bible pertains to the 10 patriarchs, starting with Adam, number one, going all the way to Noah, number 10. And in those 10 names, the whole plan of salvation is wrapped up. So if we don't know about names and we just dismiss those names, we are the ones who are without understanding. And the Bible has many names. And we need also to learn the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And if not, we need to make a note and see the order, the list of these names. That's for our study, our benefit. Because the book of Revelation ends with the names of the 12 sons of Jacob Israel and the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And that is not just information. There is a wealth of truth that you can't go into the city unless you go through something. What is the entrance into the city? Can you help me? The gates. And whose names are on those gates? No, the names of the 12 sons of Abraham. That is through Jacob. And whose names are on the 12 foundations of the city? The names of the 12 apostles. So if we don't know the names, it's to our loss. And that's not put there just to give us information. God hides truths in names. So now, I'll tease you a bit in a nice way. Who can guess the name of the ninth son of Jacob? I'll help you. Issachar. All right, on this side. What's the name of the 10th son of Jacob? Zebulun. On this side. What's the name of the 11th son of Jacob? Joseph. On this side. What's the name of the 12th son of Jacob? Benjamin. All right, take these numbers, 10, 11, 12. Let's stop at number 10. When you hear of the number 10, what's the first thing that comes into your mind? 10 commandments. Yes. 10 links with the law. Now, the 10th man in Genesis 5, his name is Noah. And he's the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. 10 links with the Gentiles. And 10 links with the law. So I want to show you a hidden truth about these names. When you get to number 10, you come to the age of the law. But when you come to number 11, you come to the age of grace. What age are we living in? The age of grace. But what age preceded the age of grace? The age of law. But what happens when this age ends? Is that the end of God's program? No. One age ends to give way to another age. The end of one age is the beginning of another age, and the Bible speaks of ages to come. And an age can range from 1,000 to 2,000 or a little more in length. So what are we about to see? That Joseph at 30, that is the age of maturity. When he came before Pharaoh, how old was he? 30. It's given there. And 30 is the age of maturity. So Joseph at 30 is showing us the age of grace as it is about to reach its fullness. And when that age ends, then comes Benjamin, the age of the kingdom. And of that age, it says, he, Jesus, must reign. How long? More than 1,000 years. He must reign until, how long? All enemies are placed under his feet. And that takes more than 1,000 years, beloved. So I'm not going to stretch you any further, just to show you something. What happened then is a portrait of what will happen as this age is about to close. So let's read from Genesis 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, verse 17, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kind, fat-fleshed, and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kind came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind. Notice that, not the west wind, the east wind sprang up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this to the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. The seven good kind are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing I've spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following. For it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Well, there are more interesting details which we will not take the time to read. Simply to bring out that Pharaoh appointed Joseph to be that man. So we want to look at the meaning of the 7 fat cows and the 7 lean cows and the 7 lean ears of grain and the 7 good ears of grain. Joseph says the dream is one. In those days, the cattle of a man spoke of his wealth. The more cattle he had, the more wealthy he was. And you know, Father Abraham had much cattle. And grain or bread is a staff of life. And what is the Lord seeking to tell us? That in these last days, the purchasing power of wealth will lose its value. And food and other commodities that we have been accustomed to will be scarce. Already some people have seen the need to buy big quantities of food, but these big stores have to deny them that privilege. Look at how prices have skyrocketed in this country. I remember very vividly when we came to this great nation in August of 1971 on a permanent basis. We made trips before. That the American dollar was very strong. And I remember one time, I might have told you this testimony. We were living in Woodville, Texas. And that's a tiny town. And God gave us some good Baptist friends. And when we left Guyana to come here, we hardly had anything because the government of Guyana prevented the people from leaving the country. And if you were to leave, you could only bring out 50 Guyana dollars. Tell me what that can do when the currency was such that $50 did not even give us 10 or 20 US dollars or more than that. And we faced some rough times in the homeland. I remember how for 80 days the country faced a strike. And if you ventured to go to work, you were faced with death or stoning. And how were we going to make out? I'm here to tell you we survived the 80-day strike and never went without one meal. God just made a way for us. And that will take too long to go into. But imagine 80. I never thought of numbers, you know, back in those days. How old was Moses when God met him at the burning bush? 80. Something new began for Moses. So nothing happens just by accident. For example, our hostages in Iran under the 39th president were there for how many days? Some of you know. You see three fours there? What is that? 400 plus 40 plus 4. 4 is the number of the earth. Fullness of testing to bring forth fruit. What was the fruit? Release from captivity under the 40th president. So that is a code language that only the people of God can understand, that things didn't happen to us just by mistake. Our whole history is full of significant dates. Yes, even July 4th, 1776. So I'm just saying to you, beloved, way back in the 70s, we were living in this country. I went to the post office box one day, and our post office box number was 567. 567. And I got a letter, and I thought it was from Florida. Then it seemed as if it was from Georgia. And that particular week, we were only here for about a couple months. We were going through a little rough time because I didn't have too many meetings. And my wife needed some grocery supplies. Well, we had two daughters at that time. Ben was not born, but he would be born in the next year. And I said to my wife, tell me what you need. And she gave me a list of a few items. So before I left, she said, where are you going to get it from? I said, don't worry about it. So having checked the post office box, I found this letter. But would you believe I could not tell the name of the person who wrote? They did not put their address. And the stamp on the envelope was very hard to decipher. But I opened this letter, and the only time something like this ever happened to me. And here the person wrote a note. I was about to put this offering in the offering plate, but the Lord laid it on my heart to send it to you. And when I looked at the offering, it was exactly a $20 bill. And I want to tell you, $20 could buy more than just a few grocery items. So I went and got the items and took them home. My wife said, where did you get all of that? I said, the Lord provided. Hallelujah! Let me tell you, things have happened like that over and over again, but not in the sense of the way that letter reached me. And until today, I don't know who the person was. A few friends that I thought could have been the ones to send it did not admit it was they. So whoever it was, I thank God for, because I saw something. That God can make a way where there seems to be no way. And it strengthened my faith. Well, has God changed from 1971? How long ago is that to 2008? Has God changed since then? Well, the prices have gone up. The dollar has lost its value. But you know what? God is still the same. And I'm here to tell you that we may see some more skyrocketing prices, and it's easy to get frustrated and blame the government and blame this group and the other group. And true, there are a lot of greedy people around us. But there's a payday coming one day. James tells us what will happen to these who have robbed their employers. They'll be weeping and howling when God gets ready to deal with this situation. And every time I see the gas pumps going up, and I'm telling you it's going up every day. It used to be once a week. I say, Lord, deal with this abomination. Because you can't continue in sin that grace may abound. And we must be like those people in Ezekiel 9. They were sighing and crying for what? The abomination in the land. Is your cry going up to God? Are we like that widow who was pursued by an adversary? And she fled to the judge, and the judge would not look into her case. But did that stop her? No. God is looking for that kind of people who will continue to persist. And shall not God, and shall God not speedily avenge whom? His own elect, who cry unto him how often? Night and day. Listen, God is hearing the cries of his people. He may not intervene all at once, but he will come to our rescue. He's not an unjust judge. So I say to you, In this dream, we see what will happen again in the Egypt of this world. Egypt represents the world just like Jericho represents the world. And God is looking for some Josephs. Yes, men of vision, men of understanding. And they're going to arise in this time. I believe the world is about to see a ministry arise that will not be known in the who's who of our society. Some obscure people, non-entities. But that's part of God's army. He has not chosen the high and mighty. Whom has he chosen? Help me out. First, the base things, the foolish things, the despised things. Can you name another one? Weak things. And the last one, the nothings, the non-entities. I guess I'll put myself in the last category. I've never cared for the limelight, and I still don't care for it. It makes no difference to me whether I speak to 1 or 10 or 20 or 200 or 2,000 or more. You know why? All I'm concerned about is to go where God wants me. And if all that he has for me to do is speak to one person, that's fine. But I had to be weaned from crowds and doing things that man called success. You know, when I first came, I envisioned, oh boy, I would have my schedule filled for the whole year, if not 2 years, 3 years. Some brothers, they have 5 years in advance. Brother, it didn't happen to me like that. And I was wondering if I was in the right business. You know how you get depressed? Oh, there were many days that I was wondering, Lord, did I do the right thing? But if God has called us and chosen us and ordained us, he'll make a way where there seems to be no way. And I've seen how some of our bills were due, and we didn't know where the next bill would be paid, and just a day or two before, the supply would come in. We may not all live like that, but the times are becoming so perilous, we will have to know the Lord for survival. And I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to tell you, if things get far worse than we have seen thus far, don't lose hope in God. Say with the psalmist, my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my salvation. Well, what must be done in a crisis? Joseph says to Pharaoh, set apart 1/5 of the land and store up the grain in the plentiful times. So when the famine comes, Egypt would have the supplies. Well, where are we going to supply others from when we depend on the Lord to give us a yearly crop, and we can only keep certain things for a limited amount of time by way of storage? I want to make a spiritual application. God may not allow us to store up the food of this realm, but he's telling us we must store up the spiritual grain. And that spiritual grain in his word. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that? For all these many years, you've been fed the word of God. But what have you done with it, my friends? Is it just hearing a message? Is it just being entertained by the ministers God sends your way? How much of that word is being stored up in us? Thy word have I what? Where? That I might not sin against thee. So why one-fifth? One is the number of life and light, and five is the number of grace and freedom. Hallelujah. Now, remember the Lord spoke about a steward, how he was going to lose his office because he didn't handle his master's goods in the right way. And this rascal hatched up a plan like many rascals in our society today. They know how to fleece other people. He didn't want to go and earn a living, so he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to call all those who have debts, have owed my master, and I'm going to make some friends with them. Isn't it sad? There's a word that goes with bribery. What is that word? Bribery and what? Corruption. That's a phrase that we have been accustomed to hearing, and I'm sure you are aware of it. The word that links with bribery is corruption. So this man called his master's debtors and said, how much do you owe my master? One said, 100 measures of wheat. He says, take your bill and write 80. Another came and he said, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. He said, take your bill and write 50. What is 50 out of 100? Half. What is 80 out of 100? Right. So how much did he cut down? One-fifth. How much of the land was to store up the grain? You see, God is a mathematical God. I don't claim to know everything about numbers, but God's will for his people is not that we cut down on the wheat and cut down on the oil, that because we are the stewards of today. And Paul says, I have not shunned to declare unto you what? The whole counsel of God. God wants us to be a people who will have 100 measures of wheat and 100 measures of oil. But what do we see happening in America and elsewhere? We're cutting down like Reader's Digest. You know what they were coming out with way back in the 70s? The condensed edition of the Bible. Like condensed milk. It tastes good. But it doesn't have all the nutrients. Oh, it tastes good for a time. There is nothing as the condensed edition of the Bible. Who gave man the authority to use the scissors of his own intellect to cut out the word of God? Woe to those who add to the word, and woe to those who subtract from the word. Is that right?
Amen.
So what is happening in some places? No more is the truth preached. We're cutting down on holiness. We're cutting down on God's plan of salvation. We're preaching a social gospel in many places. And we're not going to affect anybody because all religions are one. You ever heard that? And we all need to join together and form another Babylon. That's what it's all about. So many are cutting down and taking out one-fifth. And if they don't cut down on the wheat, what else do you think they're cutting down on? The oil. And what is the oil a symbol of? The Holy Spirit. Or we can teach the Holy Spirit comes to convince and convict and reprove, but don't say anything more about that. We don't want to hear anything about being filled with the Spirit, and we don't want to hear about walking in the Spirit. So what is the Lord telling us tonight? We must store up His Word in our heart, and He will give us the one of light and understanding and the five of grace and freedom, because when the times get harder and harder, out of your innermost being will flow. What will flow? Rivers of living water. God will help you to speak a word, and you will speak faith in the midst of doubt, and you're going to see things come to pass you haven't seen yet. I believe we are on the verge of seeing creative miracles. Well, if we don't have faith for the simple miracles, how are we going to have for creative miracles? I envision the day when some people who are sick and in wheelchairs, and some who've been blind and deaf, are going to have a touch from God, and creative miracles are going to take place. I've never stopped believing that, though I haven't seen it yet. God is about to do some new things in this day. So the darker the night, the brighter the light. Hallelujah. But we're only looking at the night. We're not looking at the day. Where is our focus? When I think of a man like George Mueller, how he lived on his knees and prayed in £6 million without asking for a penny. I said to myself, where is the faith of God's people today? Oh my, thank God for the pioneers who blaze a trail for us. Is God limited? No. So the tougher the times, the more God expects to find a people that will live from the supplies of heaven. Study the life of Elijah, and you will see three ways God supplied his needs. First, he was to deliver the message God gave him. Go show yourself. And then God says, go hide yourself. Oh, we want to show ourselves. God says, go hide yourself. We're not ready to show ourselves until we learn to hide ourselves. So he went into hiding, having delivered the word. And God says, I've commanded the ravens to feed you. Oh, boy. And he directed him to the brook Cherith. And if you're making notes and you want to know where to read that, 1 Kings chapter 17. But you know, after a while, the brook dried up and the ravens stopped coming. We creatures of time expect God to do the same thing over and over and over the way he did it for us earlier. But God doesn't have to repeat the same way of doing things. So the good news I had to learn for myself was, if the brook dries up and the ravens don't come, God has another way to take care of us. He sends Elijah to the home of a poor widow. And all that she has is a little meal and a little cruse of oil. In other words, she was at her extremity. And she and her son would eat the last meal and then die. How many of us have come yet to the last meal in the house? Anybody here? We're such a blessed people in America. Are we thankful anytime we go to the table? Are we thankful? If not, we will have to learn that. Oh, beloved, if we were to take a trip overseas and see what people have to eat and drink, we will thank God 100 times and more for what we still have here.
Yeah.
And what does the man of God tell this woman? Bake me a cake first. She could have said, what? I am at my last meal and you want me to feed you? I don't know you. But she saw a man of God who came and told her, the meal and the oil will not diminish, and you will eat of it for many days until the famine is over.